بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد شكرا وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا May Allah Jalla Wa'ala make this majlis of ours a majlis of ma'rifah, a majlis of learning, a majlis which increases in our spiritual uplift, a majlis which is an asset of ours and which will benefit us in the hereafter, in this dunya and in barzakh. We talked about the secrets to success, and one of these secrets is that to start slowly whatsoever we want to do. Now this is applicable to students who are studying, to jobs, or those who want to invest in whatever way, in whatever manner. So it shouldn't be an aggressive move. Now the teaching we have is that you have to be ambitious, with a big ambition. You have to have a large goal, but you have to start slowly and on a low level, on a low scale. We plan big, we have to have high ambitions, but we don't implement it in the right way, and that is the reason why many a times we find that no matter what we do, it's just a flop. So bit by bit a river grows till all at once it overflows, as they say. Now those who have high aims, they cannot limit themselves to or restrict themselves to small plans. That is again something which is proved by psychology. And they say that those who have high ambitions, it's tough for them to control how they implement their faith, their belief. But here, by applying patience, sabr, it's going to be possible. On the contrary, we have people who are weak, who are za'if in their intentions, in their ambitions. They just stick to whatever low level they are, and they have no ambition to grow as such. And the teaching is that we have to blossom, we have to grow, we have to learn more, we have to educate ourselves more, we have to earn more, or that constant update and upgrade in our livelihood, both materially and spiritually, that has to increase. Now, to understand this in easier words, I'll give you some examples. The founder of Fanne Balaghat in Islam, that is the art of communication in Islam, is Sa'aduddin Taftazani, among the greatest ulama of our time. He asks his son, who again was a great alim, he says, what is your aim? What is your ambition? What do you want to be? And how much do you want to learn? In reply, he says that I want to be as knowledgeable as you are, my father. He gets upset. He says, you will get to nowhere, not even half of what I have. The son, he thought, father being the most knowledgeable person in town, why did he reply as such? He says that, when I was of your age, when I was studying, Abu Abdullah Ja'far ibn Sadiq alayhi salam, his fame, his knowledge was second to none. Thousands of students which he possessed, no one had. My ambition was to be as knowledgeable as him, and whatever I have is no match to him. So I had that high ambition, high goal, and I reached to this whatever I am. Now if you have me as the goal, as your mentor, you will get nowhere. So aims have to be high, ambitions have to be high, and also work has to be high. But when it comes to implementing whatever we have, teaching is that it has to be gradual, it has to be slow. And for this, we can mention here that during the time of Nasiruddin Shah Qajar, who was among the kings of Iran in the 1850s, he travels to England, to London. And it is the rule of Queen Victoria at this time. He comes, and in those days the British had established a bank in Tehran, which flourished rapidly with lots of benefit, interest, and it grew all over Iran at that time. Nasiruddin Shah, he asks Queen Victoria, what is the reason, what is the secret behind the success of this entity of yours, of this bank? How come it flourished so much? In reply, she says that we British, we never leak out our information to anyone. What are the secrets of our success? But because you are an honorable guest here, I will tell you. And then she says that we opened up a small bank with just one banker, one accountant, and one cleaner in a small place. And our tactic is that we see how it grows, how the customers come. If we find that it is possible and it's going to grow, we increase our business rapidly. But if it's going to sustain a loss, we return back without sustaining much more losses. And then she says that, but the Asians are not like that. So the teaching what we have is that even if you were to start something, start it gradually, start it slowly, so that if there are corrections required, it's easier to correct, it's easier to return, it's easier to reverse. So that is again one of the tips that we find when it comes to learning, when it comes to earning, when it comes to establishing, when it comes to making something, etc. So start gradually and little by little, and the same thing, it's applicable to the spiritual journey of ours. Now many a times people, they say that what do we do to become better people? So many namazes, so many du'as, so many ziyarat, all of that, if you apply them all in one go, you'll do that a few days, but third day, fourth day, back to square one. No matter what we had started, it's going to go, it's going to stop, and nothing is going to increase. Or for example, if there are many problems in our system, if there are many negative points in us, may that be rage, for example, ghazab, or there might be other negative points in us like backbiting, gossip, etc. And these problems, they need to be removed. Removing them is tough. Now it may so happen that we intend to become better people overnight, and that is impossible. So we have to work on each one of these issues for a few days, and once we get certain that it's gone, we work on another one. For example, gossip. For that, 40 days, riwayat says that if you work on something to add on to your system or to remove from your system, it takes 40 days. And if you were successful in these 40 days, 41st day, it's guaranteed it's not going to be part of your system, or it's going to be part of your system. For example, Salatul Layl, if you want to add that onto our program, it may be tough for the first few days, or we may be successful for 5-6 days, and then there will be a gap. We may not wake up, we may not feel like praying, but if we just continue, as the example that was given yesterday, the attempts of that cockroach-like insect which tried to climb, and it took 700 attempts for it to reach the top. So the same way over here, Masumin, they say, Riwayat, they say that for 40 days, work on it and then it will be secure. May that be adding something, may that be removing something. And it is said that a person, he loses. Now Imamzadehs, you know, they are the family of the Imams. And they have shrines in Iran, in Iraq, and elsewhere in other Muslim countries, you find them. And people also go there, approach them for their du'as, for their hajat. A person, he loses his donkey and comes to the Imamzada here, straight, starts pleading. The caretaker, he comes out and says that, what's up, why are you pleading so much? He says, I've lost my donkey, that was my only means of sustenance. All that I had was that animal, I've lost it. He says, go there. Points out at the other Imamzada. He says, why? He says, look at the dome. This one has got a small dome. That one has got a larger dome. You lose knives, wallets, keychains, keys. You come here. For larger items, you go that one. That is, work on these little items that we have for a long time. And then inshallah, whatever we have lost or we need to add or remove from our system, that will be possible. Coming back again to this topic, we talked about guidance here. It was mentioned yesterday that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that mu'mineen, they will be blessed with the heavens, with the gardens of Aden, and they are the ones who deserve it. Now regarding the paradise, no one has seen it, no eye has ever seen it, no heart can ever perceive it. Whatever we find in Quran, whatever has been said to us by Ma'sumeen, we just listen to it and just multiply it with the best of the blessings that are present in this dunya and assume that the paradise is going to be like that. When it's in reality, that is not the case. We cannot even think of what is awaiting us, what is present and Allah has created. And one of the blessings that can be mentioned in the heaven, in Surah Ar-Rahman, loads of blessings have been mentioned. One of them, the Almighty says that وَفُرُشِمْ بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ إِسْتَبْرَقْ, that in the heavens you will find rugs. Rugs, the underlay of these rugs, it's made of silk. Now in this dunya, the best of rugs which you see, they are made of silk. And the most expensive part of that rug, it's that top layer of the rug, which is the most beautiful. The underlay no one looks at. Quran says the underlay of that rug, it's made of silk. How? Then what is the top going to be? No one knows. So the blessings that are present over there, no heart has ever perceived, no eye has ever seen, nor has anyone checked into that paradise till now. And what is said to us regarding Prophet Adam being ousted from that heaven, it's not that heaven which will open after the hereafter and people with mu'mineen will check in. It is some high location which existed on this earth. From that position he was demoted to this world. So Quran in that ayah says that Allah has prepared, has promised that those jannats, the gardens of Aden, for the prophets, for the siddiqeen, and for the shuhada, and then says that وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. Ridwan means the pleasure of Allah, it's greater than anything. Now this Rizwan, which is the pleasure of Allah, it is for the mu'mineen. Now who are the mu'mineen? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Mu'mineen are the believers. They are those who possess those qualities that have been mentioned in Surah Mu'minun. Now on the night of Ashura, the quality of mu'mineen, who are they, how are they? On the night of Ashura, the companions of Abu Abdullah are present in that tent. And Abu Abdullah, he switches off the light. The light is turned off. he is delivering a sermon. And among those present in that meeting are the Ashab. And it is that point when Imam says that you can leave that bay'at which is my right, that allegiance which is my right, I will take it away. And amidst the talk of Abu Abdullah, there are two people talking to each other, whispering. And that is Muhammad bin Bashir Hazrami. There, one of them says something to the other, and he smiles in reply. After a while, Imam says, "What did you say? Is there something you would like to share with me as well?" He says, "Imam, we just got a message. Now this brother we have here, he is a newcomer to this camp of yours. He just got a message that his son, in one of these battles, one of the gangsters has taken him into custody, and he is behind bars, for example." Imam says that, "Go and release him." He says, "No." Imam says, "This allegiance which is my right, I will take it away, and I guarantee that in the hereafter I will be with you." He says, "I don't want the hereafter. You are with me now. Why do I wait for that hereafter?" And then Imam says, "Take these 1,000 dirhams at least, and go and get free him and come back. Tomorrow you know that every one of us is going to die." He says, "I can't wait, Imam. And if I go, it's going to be... if I go there and if I come back, I don't see you, I cannot live. Leaving you now, I pray that the wild animals, the beasts present over here, they come and shatter me before this moment comes that I separate from you." So such beautiful ashab Abu Abdullah al-Hussein has. And then in amidst that talk, he says that, فَإِنِّي لَا أَعْلَمُ أَصْحَابًا أَوْفَى وَلَا خَيْرٍ مِنْ أَصْحَابِي. Says, now لَا أَعْلَمُ in the Arabic language, it means I do not know. But our aqeedah is that when it comes to ma'asumeen alayhim as-salam, when it comes to the imams, when it comes to the prophets, they know, because that knowledge that has been given to them, it's divine. So if anyone comes to the prophet and asks something, he has to have an answer. If he says, "I do not know, I've forgotten it," it's me, it means that there is something lacking in the prophet, and he cannot be a prophet or an imam, because he has to have an answer. Or when a question is asked about the Quran, he must give an answer. So over here, when he says that "la a'lamu ashaban," it doesn't mean that I do not know of any ashab. It means as if the entire creation that Allah has, as if he is scanning the entire creation and he does not find anyone better than these 72 that were blessed, that were given to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. He says that in this entire creation, I cannot find anyone better than these 72 that were given to me. And the same thing is with the Ahlul Bayt, with the family members that were given to me. There is no one better. The best that were given to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. So the qualities of the believers, that is the purified, to whom this Garden of Eden, the Jannat, will be blessed. Quran says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. That mu'mineen and mu'minat, some of they are the custodians of each other. That is, this entire creation that Allah has created, it is based on this concept of love. He created, that is his immense love, is made him create this entire creation, and then he appoints the prophet, that too is made based upon love. Then the concept of imamat, again that's made based upon love. Or these different wilayat that we have, that is, may that the wilayat of Allah upon his creation, wilayat of the prophet, of the imams upon their nations, wilayat of a father on his daughter, on his sons, all that is based on love. When we say that in marriage the permission of the father is required for the girl, it's not because he is the elder, he wants to do as he wishes, as he pleases, because that is based on love. He knows better of his daughter. He knows what is going to be best for her. And that's why Allah says permission of the dad is a must. That the father has to give that permission that she can marry to such and such a person. That is again based on love. Because with love and care, he raised her. So, mu'mineen and mu'minat, they are a mukammil of each other. If there is something lacking, less in me, the other mu'min tops it up. Or when we say that in marriage, the spouses, when they get together, if there are any shortfalls, shortcomings in the husband, the wife tops them up. If there is something short in that, in the woman, the husband tops it up. Or Quran says, that is, he is the cover for the other, and she is the cover for him, etc. So, mu'mineen and mu'minat, they are the custodians of each other. The ba'dhum awliya'u ba'd. They are those who are together in every stand, in every building, in every mosque, in every congregation, in helping each other, so on and so forth. Or if someone dies, you find that all of these mu'mineen, they get together and they want to proceed with the funeral services so that mu'min is buried. And then says the other quality of these mu'mineen and mu'minat to whom these jannat will be blessed, ya'muruna bil ma'ruf. That is, they invite each other to what is good, what is right. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And if there is something wrong which they see in them, they say that this is wrong and this has to be abstained. Again, when we see wrong in each other, it shouldn't be as such that we straight away declare enmity with them and we break ties. No, that is not the teaching. Or for example, every little thing we start conveying the message to them. The rules of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahya anil Munkar are that we see that there is something wrong in that person, or his prayers, for example, are faulty. And the teaching is that if by me telling that to him, it's going to have an effect, I will tell that. If I have the faintest idea that my words are not going to have any effect, it's not wajib on me. I do not say anything to them. So if I find that there is a turbulence in the relationship of some people, and me mediating with them, it's going to trigger that turbulence much more, I don't mediate. Someone who can help them out, he can mediate. So all these rules, which are all based on common sense, they have to be applied. So mu'mineen, they invite each other to the right, they forbid each other from the wrong. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. They keep up prayer. Prayer, again, it's one of those duties which is the most important. And in Quran, again, many times it has been mentioned. And for that, so much of importance has been given. Or all of the ahkam that we have, they are interlinked to each other, to these prayers. So to that prayer also a lot of importance has been given, that it is no matter what the circumstances are, we have to keep it up. And then for mu'mineen says that yu'tuna zakat. For them it's simple, it's easy to carry out the commands of all of Allah. That is, when it comes to the paying of khums, paying of zakat, paying of sadaqat, dues and funds, it is easy for them because they have accepted the call of Allah, and based upon that obedience, that is easily possible for them. وَيُطِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ سَيَّرَحَمُهُمُ اللَّهُ. And someone who is like that says Allah will have mercy upon them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And Allah, He is Almighty and All Wise. So when it comes to the guidance, again, that is based on love. When it comes to accountability, and that is on the day of judgment, that too is based on love. Allah has created this hereafter, this accountability, that too, again, it's based on that mahabbah. And what we do is that we fear the hereafter a lot. We fear dying a lot. Although we find in riwaya, although we do find that even the prophets, they used to fear death. All these du'as that we have, for example, the du'a of Amir al-Mu'mineen in Masjid Kufa for the horror of the Day of Judgment, all that is there. But for Mu'mineen, Allah Jalla wa'ala, He is going to have a merciful look. And وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. Quran says that for Mu'mineen, وَكَانَ, كَانَ mean He was. Was, that is, from ever. Since the day God is God, He was Rahim. And since then, He was Rahim for Mu'mineen. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. That is, He has a special share of mercy for Mu'mineen. Now in these ayat, we find that an invitation has been given to Mu'mineen who have accepted this faith, and by the divine command which pleases man says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu stajibu lillah walil rasool idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. That is, O you who believe, istajibu lillah, that is, when respond to the call of Allah, walil rasool, and his prophet. Why do we respond to the call of Allah and the Prophet? Says, Lima yuhyikum. That is, if you accept the call of Allah and His Prophet, you will live. You will live doesn't mean that we're going to live here in this world for a little more. No. You will live forever. That is, because of that connection that we create with Allah and His Rasul, He gives us a life and an eternal life in the hereafter. Or that example that was mentioned the other day from that hadith, when that person comes to our seventh Imam and says that a person has come to him. In reply, Imam says, go to Baqi, and there you will see that an existence will emerge before you, and which doesn't resemble any animal, any human, any beast. And the reason for him appearing in that form is because of this disconnect with Allah and His Rasul. So, says that if you abide by this program, if you accept the call of Allah and His Rasul, you will live. Lima yuhyikum. So the contents of this invitation are that we have to have faith in the existence of Allah. Now when it comes to Allah, we have to know who He is. That is, again, among the first and the foremost things that we have to know, and that is knowing the Usuluddin, that is Tawheed, that is the oneness of Allah. Now how do we know who Allah is? Again, if you look into Quran, we have loads of ayat when He says that you just keep on reminding yourself of all these blessings and favors, graces which Allah has on you. For example, the skies, the earth which He has created, the water which you drink, all these different blessings that He has poured down upon you. Just keep on reminding yourself, and that way you will come to know the existence of Allah. It says, وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَاءً وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. That He has created the sky, He has created for you the earth, and from this earth again He has brought forth for you all these different means of sustenance, rizq, and the fruits. Lakum, all of that is for you. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Now that you know that all that has been created for you, all that is in your favor, you don't bring and ascribe anyone as a partner of God. Have faith in Him as He is just one. So now that we have faith in Allah and we know who He is, there is His endless support to His creation. Allah supports His creation, and that too is based on love. He says that you were single, I gave you a spouse. You wanted children, I blessed you with children. It was me who turned your heart towards myself. You were lost, I made you find yourself. You were lost. That love for Ahlul Bayt, it was me who planted in your heart. That love for the Prophet, for Ali, for Fatima, for Hassan, for Hussein alayhim salam, He says, it was me who guided you. And then He says that Now that you know that it is me, someone who has faith in me says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. That is, those who have faith in Allah, they have the maximum love towards Allah. Now how that we portray that maximum love to Allah? Says that if you have that maximum love, اتبعوني, follow me. That is, that love to Allah can be portrayed, can be given back to Him, can be shown by that obedience. Says those who are obedient to Allah, that is, إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني. That is, if your claim is that you love me, you love Allah, Allah says, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, you obey me. How is that obedience? أَتِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَتِيعُ الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. That is, you have to be obedient to Allah, you have to be obedient to the Prophet, you have to be obedient to the أُولِي الْأَمْرِ. That way you will gain life. اِسْتَجِيبُ لِلَّهُ وَلِلْرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. In every case, this concept of obedience, it is that wonderful concept which gives life to each one of us. Now again, if you look into how this entire concept of love has been based, that is, no matter how much wrong we do throughout our life, we find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He tolerates us. That is, since the day we become baligh and until the day we die. That is, for example, if we live for 80 years, 15 years off, just 60 years or 65 years, we get to worship. And from those 65 years, half of that is day. Again, so much time for work, etc., etc. Just a few years remain, 5 or 7 or 10. And in those 10 years, we have to make ourselves, build ourselves, refine ourselves, purify ourselves. And He says, only for that little lapse of time, if you do something good, I will give you those heavens forever, for a life to live there forever. Or when it comes to, and we talked about among the qualities of mu'mineen, they said that among the qualities of mu'mineen are that they keep up prayer. For prayer again, in that 80 years of life that we have multiplied by 5, so many prayers have to be offered. And out of all of these prayers, not talking to myself, out of all of these prayers, how many prayers are correct? How many prayers are faulty? Most of them are faulty. Masoom, he says that out of those 80 years of prayers that you said, Imam says, if just one or two of your prayers were correct, that is, out of 80 years, Imam says that because of those correct prayers of yours, Allah will compensate and correct all of those wrong prayers. Just because of those one or two right prayers that we offered throughout our life. So it seems that it's a big, huge challenge that Imam says that our prayers, if they are correct, at least one or two of them throughout our life, everything else will be corrected. So we have to give importance to all these issues. For example, when it comes to prayers, we have to invest a little bit more in our namaz, in our salats. That is, to look into it with detail, analyze them if we are doing them correct. May that be the taharat before the prayers, or the prayers itself, or the mood and the manner in which these prayers are being offered. And it was mentioned that at least to correct our prayers, we should invest in one of these prayers every day. For example, the morning prayers. And again, applying that same formula of 40 days on this program. And that is, if you are in a good mood in the morning, invest in the morning prayer. If you are in a good mood in Zohr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, whichever. That is, when there's no job, there's no one to disturb, and you can focus on it, invest on those prayers. Now how do we invest? If it's the Fajr prayers, perform the wuzu in a way as it is taught to us. And again, when we come to the prayer mat with all that mindset that has been taught to us by Ma'sumin, And when you come to the prayer mat and stand, say that azan and iqama. Because riwayat, it says that if a person says an azan before his prayers, it is as if there is a row of angels behind him. And the length of that row, it's from the east of the creation of Allah to the west. Not from the east and the west of this world. East of the creation, how much is that? We don't know. Says so many angels will join you just for that one azan. And then he says that, and if you top it up with an iqama, another row of angels, with the same amount of angels, they will be with you in your prayers. That is why we say in Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, if it's a congregation, we've got mu'mineen present, that, oh God, it is you we worship, wa Iyyaka nasta'in, and from you we seek assistance. But what if a person is one and he's saying his prayers furada at home? So why does he say na'budu? That na'budu, the minimum, it's those two angels who are recording. And if you have that azan and iqamat, you include all of those angels who are with you praying those prayers, saying those prayers. And then when it comes to prayers, start them, recite them properly, and say these prayers in the full form. Meaning that when it comes to ruku, say that zikr of ruku 7 times. Subhana Rabbi al-Azimi wa bihamd. Conclude it with a salawat. And again, when it comes to the sajda, say those zikr of sajda 7 times. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi. The second sajda the same. And it may so happen that you had that in your mind to say your prayers that way, but in the ruku you forgot to repeat it 7 times. Now, because the program is that we want to correct it and make these prayers better, top it up in your first sajda. That is, instead of 7 zikr, you say 14 zikr now, because you have missed those 7 in ruku. If you forgot it in the first sajda, then top it up in the second, that is 21. Or if you, in your last sajda, you were reminded that that was my program and I had to say that Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamd, and I did not, doesn't matter. In that last sajda of yours, say it 49 times or whatever the amount was. So that way we have the program also in place. That is how we have to educate ourselves. It's exactly how we educate ourselves in every other field in this world. So prayers, they have to be perfect. Or the other thing is that to secure this prayer, riwayat says that after your prayer, recite a tasbih of Hazrat Zahra, Salamullahi alayha. And that will multiply the reward of your prayer by 200. Just for those simple recitals that we have, which is 34 times Allahu Akbar, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 33 times Subhanallah. So the whole concept of this invitation that has been opened by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is based upon love. And then inviting others to Allah. One of the things which He loves the most is making friends with Allah. That is, those who have broken ties with Allah, we bring them closer to Him. He says, that is what I love the most. And that is that concept of tawbah which we have. That is repentance, forgiveness. Says, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasana. That is, you invite to the path of your Lord bil hikmah, with wisdom, wal maw'izati al hasana, and good advice. Now that you've trusted me, you have faith in me, you must invite others to me. Those who have broken ties with me, you must bond them with me. And how do I befriend them? He says that invite them, talk to them, mention my blessings to them, my favors, my graces on them, and that way you will bond all these broken friends from me, you will bring them closer to me. So God's patience in making friends with His servants, that too is again so beautiful in one of these riwayat. Here Ma'soom says that in the last year of the Prophet's life, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, a person comes and inquires that how many years prior to the death of an individual will Allah accept the tawbah, repentance of someone who has done wrong? Is it 1 year? He says 1 year is a lot. Someone who has lived for 100 years, for example, and is about to die in the year, in his 101st birthday, comes to the Prophet and says that I'm going to die in a year. How many years prior to my death will he forgive me? 1 year? Rasulullah says 1 year is too much. Says 1 month? Says that's a lot. A week? Too much. A day? That too is a lot. Says an hour? Says Allah, an hour is also too much. If he sees that he's about to die and he sincerely repents, Allah will forgive him. That is that compassion, that grace, that love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to his servant, says that inna yawman lakaseer man taba qabla an yu'ayana qabila Allahu tawbatah. That is, Allah will accept his repentance. That is, that basic criteria was present in that individual. That is, ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu stajibu lillah. He accepts the call of Allah, accepts the call of Rasulullah, and Allah says for that reason, yuhyikum, he will live forever. Or for example, the punishment of someone who rejects this invitation. Again, on the contrary, the same ayah says, وَالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ سُوءُ الْحِسَابِ وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ. And someone who doesn't accept this invitation of Allah says that a very painful punishment and accountability is waiting for them, and they have a painful abode. That is, in the hereafter. That is, for someone who doesn't accept this invitation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So tawbah, it's among those great graces that we have that has been created by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to restore whatever wrong that has been done by us. It doesn't mean that there are sins which he forgives, there are sins which he does not forgive. Allah, inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. That is, no matter how much wrong we have done, he forgives all of it. Among the qualities which mu'mineen need to possess is to have a lot of hope in him. A lot of hope. And it was mentioned repeatedly that a person will be judged based upon the amount of hope he has in Allah. If that hope is a lot, judgment is going to be simple. If that hope is little, that judgment is going to be tough. Says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Says, if someone asks, if my servant asks about me, says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I'm very close to him, very near him. And then says that, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِي. That is, someone who calls upon me, I respond to his call. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. It is wajib upon me to respond to his call, no matter who that person is. وَلْيُؤْمِنُ بِي. Now what does he want? Says, just have faith in me. فَلْيُؤْمِنُ بِي لَعَلَّهُ. In that hadith we find that Prophet Musa, he comes to the presence of Allah, and Allah in that conversation says that, Allah, I've done my job. Says, what do you want me to do, Musa? Whatever you say, I'll do. Says, Allah, Fir'aun, I can't tolerate him anymore. Says, what shall I do with him? Says, stop the rizq that you give him, the food and the drink. Take his life, seize it. Allah says, that I will never do. although he has stood against me, that food and that sustenance, that rizq, that drink that has to be given to him, that will be given to him no matter how long he lives. God, that is that mercy. That when we say that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Rahman is that mercy of Allah. Wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. That my mercy encompasses everything. No matter who that person is, whether he is a mu'min, whether he is a kafir, that rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is with him. Or says that watubu ila Allah jami'an ayyuhal mu'minun. That is, you have to repent. Repent all of you, the mu'minun, jami'an. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبِلُ التَّوْبَةَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. It is He, the Almighty Allah, who accepts this tawbah from His servants, from His creation. Now those of you who've been to Masjidul Nabi, there is this column, that pillar called this pillar of Abu Lubaba. Abu Lubaba is someone who has committed a sin, and a grave sin. He leaked out some important information at that time. And now when Rasulullah is in Masjid al-Nabi, and he wants to judge, and he wants to name that person who leaked out that information, Abu Lubaba was present in that meeting. He is ashamed, with his head down, he is ashamed. Says, God, don't defame me. Cries a lot. And then when Rasulullah wants to name him, ayah is revealed that he's been forgiven. Don't defame him. No matter what crime a person may have had committed, if he sincerely comes to the existence of Allah and repents, Allah says that I will forgive him. And again, that is based upon that mahabbat, that love that Allah has, that inna Allaha yuhibbut tawwabin. Says that someone who repents, that all that wrong that he has done, he corrects himself. Says that, God forgive me. He says he loves someone who repents. Or elsewhere says that we've got this dua in Sahifa Sajjadiyya. There are fourth imam, he says that, Ilahi anta fatahta li'ibadika baban ila afwik sammaytahu at-tawbah. That God, it is you who has opened a door towards your creation, towards your mankind, and you've named it tawbah. فَقُلْتَ تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَسُوحًا. And it is you who has said that you repent. A repentance that is nasuh means a repentance that is, if I correct myself, if I repent myself, I will not turn back to that sin which I was committing ever. That is nasuh. Says someone who has repented, ilallahi tawbatan nasuha, and someone who has come to this door and got forgiven, wants to be forgiven, will you not open that door? So that again is this grace of Allah that we find with repentance. Allah man taba wa amana wa amila salihan fa ulaika yubaddilu Allah sayyi'atihim hasanat. A beautiful ayah says that someone who has done wrong, a lot of wrong, Allah in Quran says that if he comes to me sincerely and says, God forgive me, Allah says that ulaika yubaddilu Allah sayyi'atihim hasanat. Now to understand this ayah, if for example in an 80 year life someone committed a billion kilograms of sins and now he has repented, so there is all that heavy burden of wrong in my performance report, Allah says if that individual sincerely repents, says that I will change all of that wrong into good, into hasanat. That is that compassion, that mercy, that love of Allah to someone who repents. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلْفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. So all these are great graces that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has towards his creation. And if they sincerely repent, He says that all the wrong that they had done, I will forgive. So, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu istajibu lillah. O you who believe, respond to the call of Allah, respond to the call of Rasul. As a result of that, you will live. Among the personalities that we can talk about, it's Hur, this great companion of Aba Abdullah. Or if you analyze the history at that time, you find that someone who opened up this whole scenario before Aba Abdullah officially, it's Hur. So there is a lot of wrong in his performance. Or in reality, he's someone who is deep down in the hellfire, someone who is in the opposition of the Imam. Because we just recited that ayah, says that someone who doesn't respond to the call of Allah and Rasul, ma'wahumun nar, it's the hell. But because of this acceptance of this call of Allah and His Prophet, someone who is deep down in the hellfire is raised, is elevated to a position that he is remembered amongst the best. That is, La a'lamu ashaban awfa. That is, as it was mentioned in the phrases of Aba Abdullah, that I do not find anyone better than what I have in the entire creation. Now, one of the things which plays an important factor in this whole concept of tawbah is adab. It's manners. If a person is well mannered with a lot of wrong again in his performance, it's easier for him to correct. If he is ill mannered, it is difficult, although it's not impossible. But if a person is well mannered, it's easier. Now, on a day like today, Hur is someone who invites Aba Abdullah to Karbala. He is with his 1,000 men. Aba Abdullah with his 70 odd ashab present. They have a talk. And amidst the talk, it is time for prayers, for Zuhr prayers. Aba Abdullah says that we'll stop here. We'll say our prayers. Says, I will say my prayers with my men over here. You, Hur, say your prayers with your men over there. Hur says, Yabna Rasulullah, how is that possible? How is that possible for you to lead your prayers here and me lead my prayers for my men? That is not possible. Again, if you analyze this crime which Hur is committing, if that information was sent to Ibn Ziyad, it was sufficient for him to behead Hur. That how come he offered his prayers with the enemy? But it was that manners, those adab which he possessed, that he comes and says his prayers with the son of Rasulullah. After the prayers, again there is a heated debate between the two. And Aba Abdullah, in reply to Hur, says, Sakalatka ummuk, that may your mother cry on you, Hur, that is death to you. Hur says, Yabna Rasulullah, you said that to my mother, but I can't say those words to you because your mother is Zahra. So again, the second adab which Hur possesses. Now, as a result of this adab, we find that on that day of Ashura, when Aba Abdullah and Hussein, he raises his cry, he says that, is there anyone who could help me? That is, Ama min mughithin yughithuna. You find that this Hur, who is this strong warrior, he is shaken. He gallops with his horse. His men say that, Hur, what is that we see in you? And if we were told that who is the strongest man here, we would have said it's Hur. Now how come you are so weak? How come you are shaken? He says that I find myself between the hell and the heaven. What do I do? If I stay here, hell is definite. And if I go to Aba Abdullah, heaven is certain. And heaven I will not give away for this hell. Comes to Abu Abdullah. We talked about Tawbah. How does he come? On the horseback with his hands on his head. Says, Ya Abu Abdullah, it was me who broke your heart. It was me who hurt you, Ahlul Bayts. Is there anywhere? Is there that I could be forgiven? Abu Abdullah says, Yes, Hur. The doors of Tawbah, they are all open. Imam himself is Rahmatun Lil Alameen, like his grandfather who was Rahmatun Lil Alameen. And then says, Hur, step down. Hur says, Allow me to be on this horseback. I could be a better servant for you, Ya Abu Abdullah, whilst I am on this horseback. And says, Allow me to be the first one to give my life in your service. And on that day of Ashura, this is Hur. And again we find that, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillah. That respond to the call of Allah, respond to the call of Rasulullah, you will live forever. That eternity will be given to you. And in addition to that, that eternity was given to him even in this dunya. They are alive. And it was mentioned repeatedly that that when they exhumed the grave of Hur upon the instructions of this Nasiruddin Shah, who did not have faith that he was among the companions of Abu Abdullah, he says that we exhumed the grave and we find that his body is fresh, that is after 1300 years. And that handkerchief that was tied onto his head, it was said that it was that handkerchief that was tied by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. He says that, let me take it out, keep it with me as a token of Nusrat and victory. The moment he takes it out, it starts bleeding. They try to wrap it up with everything possible, not possible. So that same thing which was tied by Abu Abdullah was tied onto the head of Hur. He takes a thread out as a token of Tabarruk and keeps it with him. Now we have Hur here. When he collapses, when he dies, Abu Abdullah comes to him. And again, this whole concept of Tawbah, mercy, rahmah, love that we have. Over here in these ayat of Quran, we find that Allah says that you repent, I will forgive. All that wrong that you have done, I will change it into good. We find that Ma'sumeen alayhimus salam, even on the day of Ashura, Abu Abdullah Hussein, he comes on the bodies of the enemies and says, cries on them, says, why did you not accept the invitation? We wanted you to end up in the heaven. We wanted you to be with us. How come you did not accept this invitation and you ended up in the hell? And when the ashab, the companions, one after the other, they collapse, it is Abu Abdullah al-Hussein who is the commander-in-chief, the first one who comes. But when Abu Abdullah al-Hussein himself, he falls down, falls off the horse, there is no one there. No one at all to assist. This horse returns to the camps, Zuljanah returns to the camps, and without the rider on it. And it was then that the children, they found out that Abu Abdullah is no more. We find in riwayat that it was the tactics of Abu Abdullah that, because he was the last person who was alive, comes closer to the camps, says La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, goes back to the battlefield. Now it has two things. First of all, it's the zikr of Allah. And at the same time, when he says that loud, the women and children who are in the camps, they are satisfied that the Imam is still alive. A time comes when the horse returns without the rider on it. Now over here, Ruqayya Sakina bint al-Husayn, she says, O loyal horse of my father, tell me, I know that my father has died. I know he is no more. But tell me, Asuqiya Abi Amqutila Atshana. Say that, just tell me, was my father quenched or did he die of thirst? A question is posed to the horse, an answer is heard from the head. The head says, Shi'ati Mahma Sharibtum Asbama in Fazkuruni Aw Sami'tum Bishahidin Aw Gharibin Fandubuni. O my Shias, when you drink a sip of water, do remember, or if you are reminded of someone who is lost, who is gharib, go and help him. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayalamu al-lazina thalamu ayyamun ghalamin yan-ghalibun. Allahumma aghfir lana wal-walidayna ولمن وجب له حق علينا ولمن وصانا بالدعاء ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد. اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. ماتم حسين.